Genesis 41, commencing at verse 1. Let us hear God's word. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream, and one night I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own infallible and precious word. Well, could we bow in prayer just for a moment, and then we will turn to the Lord's word and to the Lord's message. Our gracious God and our Father, we pray that thou wilt continue with us now as we open up the book and we come to the word which thou hast given for this very service. We pray for that divine help, that divine power that the Lord gives in answer to prayer. We are poor and needy, and so we pray that thou wilt breathe on us and thou wilt help us, and thou wilt come now by your grace and by your power and bless our waiting hearts. Continue with us, O Lord, we pray, and do us good in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. Please turn with me to Genesis 41, where I read earlier. Genesis 41, and our text is found in really the closing words of this verse, where we have the chief butler speaking, and he says, I do remember my faults this day. I do remember my faults this day. There is no part of the being of man that has escaped the damage of the fall. Every faculty has suffered the blow that descended upon the soul of Adam, who was the federal head of the whole human race. And when he disobeyed God and sinned, that sin entered into his whole personality. The affections, that is, the ability to love God completely and entirely, were corrupted. The bias of the will was changed from being set in God to being set against God. The mind was diverted from its original goal of glorifying God, and the conscience was also perverted. The memory did not escape either. The memory was affected, losing much of its power and suffering in its single and original God-given desire for purity and for integrity. The proof that the memory of man has suffered in the fall is that there is a great tendency to remember evil rather than remembering good. That's a fact that is seen in even our little ones. Children need to have what is good and wholesome repeated to them and taught to them continually in an effort to try to embed that truth, that which is good, that which is wholesome, upon their souls and upon their memories. But they will very early display the facility of being able to remember in a very easy fashion that which is frivolous, that which is foolish, the things of the world, and even that which is evil. You will see their ability to remember those things at an early age. The memory of the adult is exactly the same, and indeed the propensity to remembering evil is much stronger, much greater in the adult. Remembering that which is foolish, that which is worthless, that which is corrupt, that which is vile, that which is evil, while that which is good and godly is only remembered as a result of the greatest effort and the greatest labor. Now, one of the most difficult tasks for the memory of man to perform is the recollection of his faults. Very few men keep their faults uppermost in their minds. To compare it with what we do at the computer, we take our faults and we commit them to the wastebasket and we try to press a button and erase them completely out of our minds. In actual fact, we must understand that it is only by the grace of God, or when the grace of God truly enters a man's soul, that he will be willing even to face his faults and seek for help and seek for deliverance for those faults and the pardon that is needed to have them put away, unless grace dominates and prevails in a man's soul. Then what we might call spiritual amnesia is going to dominate us as far as this earthly life is concerned. Now, in our text, we hear a man speak words that focus on this failure of the memory, a failure that is very frequently found among those who are the people of God. I don't know, it very well could be, that this butler, for this is the man who speaks, this butler had become a believer because of his connection with Joseph in the dungeon, which is recorded for us in the previous chapter, a chapter that we will look at a lot in this message today. He may have become a child of God. I cannot say that, of course, definitely. But even he did not come to know Joseph's God, this butler provides for us an example of the fact that among men, among those who have come to know the greater Joseph, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's often a great deal of what I have called spiritual amnesia. Certainly, if we consider the fact that throughout the Word of God, there is the call over and over again by the Lord to His people to remember. The Lord always seems to be saying to His people, remember, remember, keep in mind, bring to mind. Words and terms like these are found the whole way through the Word of God. Therefore, God knows our failures to remember those things that have to do with spiritual matters, and in His mercy He frequently calls on us to bring them to mind. But while there may be spiritual forgetfulness with regard to many issues in the life of the believer, it is in terms of being forgetful about our faults and our sins and our shortcomings that is what is specifically illustrated in this text and in its context. This man says, I do remember my faults this day. We have illustrated here the fact that believers are often forgetful of their faults. That is the theme that arises out of these words, and that is the theme that I want to consider with you in this worship service just now, with regard to what we see here, what we read here from the lips of this man who was again the chief butler of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he says, I do remember my faults this day. We will sum up the instruction of this text and indeed its setting under three headings. First of all, notice the butler's confession. For he is confessing and he says, I do remember my faults this day. Now these are words of confession of the fact that he was guilty of a fault in a certain matter, a particular matter, that he now goes on to identify. And in verses 10 through to 13, we have the record of what happened in the dungeon in terms of his and his colleagues' dreams and the outcome. And most of us here today know the story of what happened. These two men, when in the dungeon in Egypt, they had their dreams, and Joseph was there to interpret their dreams, and he recounts it here very precisely in these verses 10 to 13. But in verse 12, he focuses on the one who had interpreted those dreams. And he says in verse 12, and there was there with us a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream. He did interpret, and verse 13, it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Now the sense of what he is saying in that verse and in verse 13 is that Joseph is the one who could interpret Pharaoh's dream. That's really what he's saying. And that's verified by verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and brought Joseph, as it says, out of the prison house. And he begins to tell Pharaoh, as the subsequent verses show, exactly what his dreams signified. But in what the butler is saying, he is confessing, essentially, I forgot all about Joseph, who proved to be such a friend to me in my time of need. That is really what he's saying. I forgot all about the man who was my friend in my greatest hour of need. That was the particular, the specific fault that he is confessing now when he says, I do remember my faults this day. He had forgotten the one who had proved to be such a friend to him. This man, Joseph, who in that dungeon had done so much to bring light and hope to the butler in the time of his distress. But the sad thing is that as soon as the butler escaped with his life, Joseph escaped from his memory. And he forgot all about Joseph. And the friend who had come to him and had helped him and who had proved to him to be his great benefactor in his time of need was forgotten. It is at this very point that we would do well to confess our faultiness, that we have often been forgetful of the friend of the sinner. Christ is called the friend of the sinner. He is referred to in the Bible as the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. That is, he's the friend who is closer and nearer and greater than any other earthly friend. He is the heavenly friend who comes down to our level and who is nearer to us than any other associate or any other companion. And we have proved his friendship time and time again. But the tragedy is, and the sad fact that's arisen by these words or raised by these words is, that we often forget his friendship and we forget him as the friend. How cold our hearts can be. How negligent of the Lord we can become. How we are taken up so much with our own ways, our own hearts, our own lives, whatever the case might be, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not in our thoughts as he ought to be. And what our hearts today need is to be stricken by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God so that we will see how great and how grievous a sin it is to be forgetful of the Lord, the great friend, in all his friendship toward us. Now we will see more of this as we think here about this man's confession, what he really was confessing when he says here, I remember my faults this day. What exactly he was saying when he calls to mind that he had forgotten the one who was the friend to him in such a marvelous way in his time of need. What exactly is he saying? Is he not speaking here of the ingratitude of that fault? His ingratitude, because it was marked, this fault of his, this forgetfulness of Joseph, it was marked by the deepest ingratitude. You think about his words. You think about what has happened to him in the past. You think about his experience, and you might say with me, as I say it from this pulpit, how could he have forgotten Joseph? How could he? And yet, men and women, the very same marks of ingratitude are found in us concerning Christ. Concerning our forgetfulness of the Lord. Oh yes, we do forget, and we will see today verses that underline that sin and that fault and that failure. We forget the Lord, and how ungrateful it is of the child of God to forget this blessed friend. We who profess his name, and therefore let us not charge the butler with being the only one who is guilty of such a sin, of ingratitude concerning the forgetfulness of Joseph? Because you and I have the same sin upon our souls. You think about this man for a moment or two concerning his ingratitude. You see, he forgot that he had been in prison. Back into chapter 40, verses 1 to 3 tell us of his time in the prison. We'll not read them for the sake of time, but in those first three verses it tells you of the butler and the baker who've offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and they're put in prison, and Pharaoh's wrath is against them. And these two men, at that point, both were awaiting death. They've offended the sovereign on the throne, the great king, the great emperor of Egypt, and therefore there is no outcome for them but death. And yet in those circumstances, Joseph appears and Joseph befriends this man who had been in prison. And yet it comes to the point where he must confess the fault of his own ingratitude, that he had forgotten all about the one who had come to him in his incarceration, in his imprisonment, and had cast aside out of his mind every thought of Joseph, the one whose message led to his deliverance. And I say to you, and I say to my own heart today, that we are reminded here of the fact that there was a time when we were in prison. In a spiritual prison. Our previous state, our previous fallen condition. And we should never forget that state, and we should never forget what we were, and our dilemma, and the seriousness, and the darkness of the situation in which we are found. And indeed, the Lord tells us not to forget it. He says, even in the words that he uses to Israel, he says to you and to me today, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Is it not the greatest ingratitude for us to ever forget the one who proved to be the friend when we were deep down in the prison house of our sin, lost and beyond hope and awaiting eternal ruin and eternal damnation? It is indeed the greatest ingratitude. And into that prison house, Christ came to befriend us and to speak to us. And therefore, how could we forget him? Turn to Deuteronomy 5 for a moment. Because you will find that as the Lord teaches his people how to live in this world, he often includes in that instruction details about the memory of the past. And asks us to keep in mind. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, where you have the Lord delivering again the Ten Commandments. This is Deuteronomy 5. And as he delivers the fourth commandment, he adds on something here that's not found in the original setting in Exodus 20. Look at verse 15. Having in verse 12 said, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, and all the details in verses 13 and 14 about the Sabbath day. He then says this, And remember that thou wast a servant, a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. God gives a reason why the Sabbath is to be kept. It's because we once were in bondage to sin and in slavery to the world. And God says, you lived all your time for the world, the flesh and the devil, and now keep that one day for me. That's what he's saying. But he says to us here, remember this. Remember you were a bondman. And for that reason, keep my day. Once you were a slave to sin, and you no thought of keeping my day, observing it, sanctifying it, but because I brought you out and redeemed you, now keep my day for my glory. So there was ingratitude here in this man's part, and there is often that same ingratitude on our part. We forget the prison house in which we were found. We also forget the great perplexity in which we used to be found. And this brings out our ingratitude as well. Again, Genesis 40, verses 6 and 7. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? They were sad, they were perplexed. They had no answer to their situation. This butler, like his friend the baker, this butler was condemned in himself for offending Pharaoh. And he knows the enormity of that offense. And he's filled with sadness. And now he has a dream that he can't understand. And this dream is from God. This is a message from God to the butler. And he cannot get a hold of what the dream is all about. It's essentially a message of deliverance to his soul, but he cannot understand until Joseph comes and Joseph explains it and he makes it absolutely clear, as you find in verses 9 through to 11 of Genesis 40. There you have the butler's dream. He dreamt about a vine with its branches and its buds and its blossoms. And then he sees himself in the dream taking the grapes and crushing them and giving the wine to Pharaoh. And all of this is a revelation of the butler's coming deliverance. Actually, I don't have time to do it this morning. I think I maybe preached on this in the past at one point, specifically on the butler's dream. But the butler's dream is a revelation of the gospel. There's the vine and the branches, the grapes, and they're being crushed, and the satisfaction of the wrath of the king and the deliverance of the prisoner from the prison house. The gospel is there in the butler's dream. But he could not understand the message from God until Joseph came and explained it. And then he forgets all about the one who had explained the dream to him, the one who had ministered to his soul, the one who had come along and said, here's what your dream means. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be set free soon. Pharaoh will lift you out of this dungeon and he will give you release. And of course, that all came to pass. And yet, he forgot all about that as well. He forgot about Joseph. And in his ingratitude, he did not remember that he had been in prison and he had been in perplexity. And there was no answer to his situation until Joseph came and gave to him the explanation and the meaning of the message that he needed to hear. And may I say to you today, every time we forget about the Lord, we forget the message that set us free. The two go together. Turn to chapter 2. As I said a while ago, there's much in the Bible about the Lord's people being forgetful. And here in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, you'll notice what it says in the form of a question. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people, Jeremiah 3:32, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Now think carefully about this particular verse. He talks about a maid forgetting her ornament, a bride her attire. Now that would be a very unlikely matter, wouldn't it? Indeed, if you take the bride is never going to forget her beautiful dress. She has it lodged in her mind. It's recorded in pictures and so on, taking our day and age. She'll never forget her attire. The young woman, she's got her ornaments. She likes those little pieces that she has and she treasures them, and she's not likely to forget them. And then the Lord says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. What is he really saying? The Lord is saying this. The gospel came to you. The message came to you when you were in your sin. A message that showed to you that there's a covering, there is an adornment for your soul. Even the righteousness of Christ and the merits of Christ that cover your sin and cover your soul and give you a standing with God. And can you ever forget that? Now, my friend, we do. We have an adornment. We have ornaments on our soul, spiritually speaking, that are far, yea, infinitely far greater than any bride's dress or any young woman's ornaments. And yet here we are. People can remember these things. We can remember many things. And yet we don't remember the Lord. And in our ingratitude, we don't keep in mind what he did for us when he clothed our souls with his own righteousness, and he covered us with the merits of his own blood. And the sad thing is that when we forget the Lord, we also forget that very truth. It slips our minds, it fades away at seasons, and our thoughts of the Lord are so faint and so dimmed that we do not remember the one who remembered us and who had mercy upon us. That's what the Lord's saying in Jeremiah 2, verse 32. My people forget me days without number. You can go through many, many days and your mind is not upon the Lord or upon his grace or upon his salvation. And what ingratitude that is. How can you forget the one who covered your sin, who covered your soul, who gave you a righteousness that is described in the Bible as the beautiful garment, the robe of righteousness, pure and faultless. And the Lord has given you that. But I'm saying to you, every time you forget the Lord, you forget what he has done for your soul. It's a reality, and therefore it's the greatest ingratitude. I must hurry on here. I have to think about the butler's confession. He's confessing his fault. I've forgotten, my friend. It was ingratitude, and I've shown you why. But it was also inexcusable. This confession is a confession, really, that what he had done was most inexcusable. There was no excuse for the forgetfulness of the butler. I'll give you a few reasons why it was inexcusable. As he confesses his faults. It's good that he did, and we'll see that later on, but just think about this for a moment or two. It was inexcusable because he could have been the one who died. Look at chapter 40. Look at verse 21. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Do you see the close proximity of these terms? The butler lives, the baker dies, and yet the butler forgets. And it's so inexcusable because I've just said he could have been the one to have died. The baker died, the butler lived. There's the sovereignty of God. If you cast your mind back, if you can remember when I, and there we're talking about the memory now, if you can remember when I preached in this chapter before, you may remember I showed you that in this wonderful story, you have Christ in the cross with the two thieves. It's all typified. One lived, that is, spiritually and eternally, the other died. And here you see, in these instances here that we're looking at in chapter 40, a tremendous portrayal of what happens in life all the time. Here you are in this gathering today, child of God. You're alive unto God. You're saved by His grace. But what about those people with whom you used to sin? Where are they today? Where are the folk from the past? Where are your companions with whom you went to school? I often, well, it's not often, but now and then, I look at a photograph or two I have of school days. And the team that I played for at school. And look at all those fellas. And I say to myself, I wonder where they all are. I wonder who's saved or not saved. I also say, I wonder who's alive now. I wonder where, maybe some who have passed away, where are they? Because people do die in early stages in life. And I say to myself, why am I alive? And he's gone. You see, this man, his fault was inexcusable because he could have been the one who died. And the beggar lived. And you must say the same to yourself today. As Paul puts in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, who hath made thee to differ? Why are you saved and your companions are not saved? Maybe the ones that you sinned with, you stood in the pub beside them. Whatever kind of life you lived, you ran the world with them. You lived for the devil together. You fooled your life away to a great degree until God stepped in. And how inexcusable, therefore, that you would forget about the Lord as you do so often. When you could have been the one to die and go to hell, and that other person who may be lost today forever, he's no longer here. It was inexcusable because Joseph had asked to be remembered. Look at verse 14. Joseph said to the butler, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Notice here how his deliverer spoke to him, pled with him even, remember me, make mention of me, don't forget me. Don't forget me. That's what Joseph's saying. And yet the very end of the chapter says, but the butler forgot all about Joseph, with the words of Joseph ringing in his ears. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me, my friend. He asked to be remembered. Do we not hear Christ speak? Exactly the words here. In verse 14 that really gripped my heart some weeks ago, as I thought about these matters and this message I am preaching now, look at those words again, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. Do you not hear the voice of Christ there? Think on me, the Lord is saying. Remember me when it shall be well with thee. It's well with you, Christian. You're saved. You're on the road to glory. But are you thinking about the Lord? He says to us in many ways, remember me. He says to his people to remember me and come to my table and honor my death and celebrate my sacrifice. And in love and in gratitude, don't forget to do that. Are you remembering the Lord? Have you forgotten about his table? How long is it since you sat at the Lord's table? The Lord's saying to you today, think on me, because it's well with you. remember me. Don't forget me. And here's a man, his ingratitude, we see it, his inexcusableness, we see it. This is part of his fault. He forgot all about Joseph, even the one who asked to be remembered. He has asked for your communion and prayer. He's asked for your fellowship. He has asked for a conduct that will glorify him and make him known. He asks you today to remember his work. Pray for it. Give to it. Support it with all your heart. He's asking for all this, brethren and sisters. But have we forgotten the Lord? If we have, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Let me say this as well. It was inexcusable because he obviously had never said one word about Joseph. See, verse 14, again of chapter 40, he says, make mention of me. Make mention of me. Now, obviously hadn't done so. You could not make mention of somebody and forget about that person. It's very obvious, isn't it? So when he says, I remember my faults this day, I've forgotten all about Joseph, that means that from the time he was released from the jailhouse, he never spoke about Joseph. Can you imagine that? We might say that is terrible. How could he be so ungrateful? How could he be so careless? This is inexcusable. You're right, preacher. But my dear friend, what about you? Have you made mention of the Lord? Why did he not talk about Joseph? Can we glean out of this maybe a few reasons why he didn't talk about Joseph but forgot all about him? Well, I will tell you one of them. Worldly advancement choked his memory. He was restored to his butlership. He was the chief of the butlers. That means there were many under his authority, under his control. And there he is in that situation, and the cares of the court and the overwhelming burden upon his life as being the chief of the butlers. It all suppresses his memory and chokes out every thought of Joseph. Maybe he was also filled with pride. No. He forgets, you see. He forgets where he was. He forgets the position from which he came. And he's now a mighty man in the court, and he forgets all about the one who intervened in his life to deliver him and to save him and to bring him out. My friend, the Lord warns us, and I must move on here, the Lord warns us about the cares of this life choking out the Word of God, the things of God, and it's all inexcusable. Then look with me quickly at the butler's conviction. He says, I remember my faults this day. And he says this as a man who is troubled, a man who is convicted within himself over this fault of forgetting Joseph. His conscience now is at work. He became very troubled, and therefore he must speak up and he must say what's upon his heart. And therefore you have the butler's conviction. And he's convicted for a number of reasons. He's convicted by the fact that Pharaoh is now in the same situation in which he himself had been found. Pharaoh has dreamt, and Pharaoh has no answers. Pharaoh has no one to give him the explanation. He needs an interpreter. And as the butler sees the scene, indeed in the very midst of the scene, suddenly he who once had needed light and instruction himself remembered Joseph. He remembered the one who had come to him when he was in that situation. And now he sees another man in the same situation, and immediately the conviction begins to arise within his soul, and therefore he shows you and he shows me today that there are people all around us who need the things of God explained to them. Who need the truth made known to their hearts. You see, brethren and sisters, salvation is a riddle to the lost. They cannot grasp it. They cannot understand it. There are people around you today who are now once what you were, a bewildered soul. There was a time when you heard the truth, but you couldn't get a hold of it. You heard the gospel, but you couldn't understand it. Joseph had to come, and I put it that way to get it home to you. Joseph had to come to where you were and make it clear. Christ came to your soul, and he gave you an understanding, an explanation of truth. He unveiled your mind. He shone into your heart, and then you saw it. And there are people all around you, men and women, and they're lost, and they're confused, and they're confounded. They're exactly now where you used to be. Does it not convict you? Does it not trouble you that you're not seeking to make known to these people what they need to hear? We're like those men in 2 Kings chapter 7 who said this, those lepers, you remember, who discovered the great abundance that there was at Syria, 2 Kings 7 verses 8 and 9, it says, when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, tells about them going into one tent and then another tent, and there's everything there that they need. There's silver, there's gold, there's food. And then verse 9, they say one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. The Christian, are you holding your peace? Are you telling those around you or who are now where you used to be, the same condition, the same plight, the same darkness, the same bewildered condition? Are you endeavoring to reach them with the gospel? You see, this is the great work of the church of God. Why is it? I put it to you. Why is it that so few of God's people are involved in getting the gospel into our town? Why is that? Why is it on a Wednesday night that there might be half a dozen or 10 people going out round the doors? Why is that? What is wrong? Because out there, there are thousands upon thousands of people who are now where you used to be. Someone came to your door. Someone knocked on your heart. Someone gave you a tract, whatever it may have been. Someone brought you to a gospel meeting. What is wrong with us men and women? We're so comfortable, so at ease in Zion, in this congregation, that we have no burden for those around us who are now where we once were, needing the truth, needing light, needing understanding. So, do you see the conviction here? It came in that way. Let me also show you something quickly about his conviction. Not only was he convicted by the fact that Pharaoh was in the same situation as he had been in, but he was convicted by the fact that Pharaoh was a man whom others had failed. A man whom others had failed. Verse 8 of chapter 41. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none. There was none. And I say it again, there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. His wise men, his magicians, who were they? They were not a little bunch of men who said abracadabra. They were his priests and his prophets, his religious leaders. And they all come together, and not one of them has an answer to Pharaoh's need, to Pharaoh's situation. Not one of them can give him the explanation of what is going on, of what God has said to him. And therefore, do we not learn the lesson? The butler is now convicted because he sees with his own eyes and hears with his own ears the absolute failure of men to get the answer to troubled souls. As well as that, he was convicted by the fact that his forgetfulness was a hindrance to other things concerning Joseph. Go back again quickly to chapter 40 and verse 14. Verse 15 especially, and he says there, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." He tells the butler, that is Joseph, of his affliction, his innocence. And now the butler would have remembered those details. He'd have said to himself, "The man I have forgotten was an innocent man, a suffering man, and I have done nothing to deliver him from his bondage and from his situation." And therefore he would have come to see that his forgetfulness was a barrier to Joseph's release, to Joseph's freedom. Now, do you not see that today? Not only are those people out there in the very same place where you once were, not only are they a people whom others have failed, their religions have failed them, their churches have failed them, they have nothing to tell them, nothing to say to them, but furthermore, our forgetfulness is a hindrance to their release, a hindrance to their freedom. That is disturbing, brethren and sisters. That is very, very disturbing that the church of God today is so fast asleep that we become a hindrance to those who are still in their sin. And our forgetfulness of Christ and the things of Christ and the things of God become a barrier and an obstacle and stand in the way of progress and going forward for God. What are we here for in this town? What is our goal? What is our objective? Is it not to reach the town? Is it not to reach the souls of men and women? Is it not to see a church of God develop with greater power, greater intensity, greater fervor than ever before? It certainly is. And I trust and pray that you will be convicted today, if necessary, of the fact that you are standing in the way of progress. If that is the case, because your interests are not where they should be, and your burden is not what it ought to be, and we've forgotten all about Christ and his work and his cause. The commendation to the butler, just a word in closing. He is to be commended because at least there came a point when he remembered his faults. That took honesty or humility, first of all. "I do remember my faults this day." He was humbling himself. "I, who was a condemned man, deserving only to die for my offense to the king, yet I was set free." And in humility he says, "I remember my faults." It was also not only humility, it was honesty. Listen to what he says. "I do remember my faults this day." See, you and I are very good at remembering everybody else's faults. What about our own? What about honesty? "I remember mine." You see, Joseph was in prison unjustly. The butler could have said, "You know, there's a man in jail, and that boy Potiphar put him in there, it was all wrong." He has tried to have wangled around it. He said, "No, I'm at fault. Are you at fault? some way or other. Something wrong, something needing to be addressed in your life, your spiritual experience. God commends honesty. Go and put it right. Deal with it. And then you see, it's commendable because of the honorableness of it. He didn't merely say in humility and in honesty what he had done. I've touched on this. The honor of it is he sought to put it right. Get him out of jail. That's exactly what happened. May God's word speak to us all today. Have you forgotten the Lord? Your friend, your Savior. Are you guilty of this sin? Are there things that need to be addressed in your life? I pray that today God will apply His word with power. But the Lord will come to us all, deal with our souls. The Lord will speak. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We leave Thy word as it has been read, as it has been brought before the heart. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will apply it in His own sovereign, in His own powerful way. O God and Father, speak, we pray, for Christ's sake and for Christ's glory. And, O Lord, may Thy will be done in all our hearts. May there be those here today who will be dealt with as the butler was dealt with. Lord, may there be a work done for Thy glory and Thy praise. Do what Thou alone art able to do. And go with us this day. And keep us under the shadow of Thy wing. And bless us, for we pray this in the Savior's name, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of the Lord's people, both this day and then forevermore. In the Savior's name we pray.